Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
An Erios Original.
Each week, we decide who's to blame for a historical tragedy. And each week, you tell us if we got it right. My name is Rebecca Delgado Smith, and this is The Aftermath. The Aftermath. Hey, everyone. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of The Aftermath. Today, we'll be speaking with Dr. Ali Nabavizadeh, Assistant Professor of Veterinary Anatomy at the University of Pennsylvania School of Veterinary Medicine, as well as Comparative Anatomist and Paleobiologist. Let's hear what he has to say about the tragic events that happened at Jurassic Park. Hi, Ali. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
We're so excited to talk about dinosaurs and have an expert for this.
All right, I'm ready.
So tell us about your particular field of study. What is paleobiology and what is your connection to the dinosaur world?
All right, yeah. So I consider myself a vertebrate paleobiologist. Basically, I study the anatomy of things like dinosaurs and large herbivorous, they're just large herbivorous animals, mostly dinosaurs, herbivorous dinosaurs. But I'm also doing things like looking at ancient elephants and other things like that. But I'm primarily interested in the comparative anatomy of their feeding mechanisms. So looking at the head structure of herbivorous dinosaurs like Triceratops, Stegosaurus, Ankylosaurs, the duck-billed dinosaurs, Hadrosaurs, and looking at the variation in the way their mouths look and the way their teeth kind of are structured. And for me, especially, reconstructing muscles in the head to then try to figure out how they would have eaten their food, because you see a lot of variation in the different feeding mechanisms that they have. And that kind of depends on the different types of plants they're eating. So it's kind of, you know, doing a little detective work.
In this particular tragedy, the dinosaurs ate humans.
Yes, that's true.
But
yeah, I don't necessarily look at those dinosaurs necessarily, but I do. Yeah, I've done plenty of looking. You know, I think I can. You know.
Yeah, we can imagine.
That.
It,
yeah,
you
yeah,
know,
yeah.
At the time, they didn't have humans to eat.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
We'll give them that. So I've read that it wasn't until Jurassic Park came out that the public grew more accepting of the theory that dinosaurs evolved into present-day birds, not present-day reptiles. Can you tell us more about this theory and how it came to light in the scientific community?
Yeah, absolutely. So basically, you know, dinosaurs lived and evolved for maybe like 150 million years, from over 200 million years ago to 66 million years ago. Basically, you know, as they evolved, there are different groups of dinosaurs that evolved, of course, and one particular group called theropods. And these are the ones that include mostly the carnivorous dinosaurs like T-Rex, Velociraptor, all of these animals. One line of them basically evolved the features of birds. Now, a lot of dinosaurs related to them had, we now know, have feathers, for instance. We've found feathers in the fossil record in the past couple decades, especially. We're growing to learn more and more about just kind of the anatomical similarities between birds that we know today and their dinosaur relatives of the past. So So yes, dinosaurs evolved into birds, but it's only one specific line of dinosaurs that did that. All the rest of them went extinct. So if you kind of think of it as a tree, it's just one of the little branches, little twigs off of the tree persisted and the other ones died off. And then, once the dinosaurs went extinct 66 million years ago, the line that was, birds had already evolved by then, so they were able to diversify. There was a lot more niche space. There was a lot more room for them to, grow in their diversity and things like that. And so it spread across the world.
Okay. That actually made sense for the first time.
Oh, good.
The T-Rex is the major killing machine in this movie.
Yes.
What can you tell us about this terrifying dinosaur, and did the movie get it right?
I actually like to think the movie got a lot of right about the T-Rex. Now, as you know, over time we found out more and more about T-Rex. So, anatomically there are certain little nuances that, are different. For instance, although there's no direct evidence of it, some scientists now believe T-Rex might have had some feathers. So we might have seen some feathers on T-Rex. Yeah. So if you look on, online, and some artists go overboard and make it all a big fluff ball. But, we've so far found, scale impressions of different parts of the T-Rex. But things that are related to T-Rex, especially the tyrannosaurid ancestors, let's say, we know that they had some kind of fuzz. So we call them dino fuzz, which is kind of like a term for pre-feather condition, basically. So it kind of looks like basically the middle rachis of a feather, the middle thing going up. So just a bunch of those, like hair, basically. it might have had some of that. There's differences in their stance and the way they held their head and things like that. But otherwise, I always have admired the design of the T-Rex in Jurassic Park. It has one of the most powerful bite forces of any animal, save the alligator, which is just insane, as far as the size of its body. But they have teeth that are about a foot long, including the root, so they can crush bone easily. And so I'm sure if there was a human for it to snack on, it would not give up that opportunity.
Do you think we as humans look delicious to them?
I don't think so. Not compared to what they had. I mean, they're eating things like huge duck-billed dinosaurs that were like, meat on a platter, just eat these enormous animals that all they had to do was bite their butt and they're down, they ate hadrosaurs, which are duck-billed dinosaurs. I think they're called hadrosaurs, the different kinds, and the horned dinosaurs, ceratopsians, like triceratops. The T-Rex snacked on them quite regularly. Triceratops, had a good fight. Could put up a good fight with it, and I like to think that it won a lot of the time because I'm biased. But
are you a big Triceratops head?
Oh yeah, I am. I am definitely a Triceratops. It has always been my favorite, and I study them now too, so that's kind of a plus.
How would they have fought back?
So obviously they have those big long brow horns, the two on top of the head and one in the middle on their nose. And they also had this big shield on the back of their head, the frill. All of these things, as long as the Triceratops was standing head on to the T-Rex would have had a hard time getting at it. Not to say it wouldn't have been able to grab at it, but the frill, for instance, the big shield would have given it a harder time to actually wrap its mouth around the frill to actually bite the thing, So if a T-Rex wanted to kill a Triceratops, it would have to come in from behind. And we do see fossils of Triceratops pelvis, of the hip bones of Triceratops, in which, it's been bitten into and sometimes healed. And when we find it healed, we know that it survived because it had time to heal. But if it was bitten into and it didn't heal, we know that it was the end. you know? So there's a lot of clues that we can, you know, look at in the fossil record, which is really cool because we can see how the dinosaurs actually might have lived their lives. Or, you know, in far as feeding, you know, there's tooth wear. So we can see what was its last meal maybe, or, you know, things like that. Or what kind of food was it eating?
Oh, how embarrassing that would be for me. Like Doritos.
Oh, me too. Me too. Yeah. Yeah.
So speaking of dinosaurs with frills, it seems that the Dilophosaurus, they're the most, I guess, misunderstood or misrepresented in the film from what I've read.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So Dilophosaurus is interesting. Spielberg admitted off the front that he put in that frill because he thought it would look cool. You know, it didn't, there's no evidence of that. There's no evidence that they were poisonous or venomous. And, you know, spit, you know, whatever.
Yeah. The venom or whatever it was.
Though. Yeah. It's a really cool effect. A really cool way to, you know, die. But I mean, the way that Dennis Nedry died was he was locked in a car. So he didn't even need that, you know, spitting venom. He would have just like attacked him in the car. And although, anyway, but there's no evidence of that. Recently there was a paper about Dilophosaurus actually that kind of gave us more of a look into what it actually looked like, which is really neat. It's a really, really cool animal in and of itself. It's an early version of a theropod, the carnivorous group of dinosaurs. It's from the early Jurassic, which is long before T-Rex.
So they wouldn't even have existed at the same time.
No, not at all.
Okay.
Yeah, they were far. I mean, there is less time between us and T-Rex than there is between a Dilophosaurus and a T-Rex.
Stop.
No. I mean, there's less time between a T-Rex and a Stegosaurus than there is between us and a T-Rex too. I mean, Stegosaurus was, you know, late Jurassic, 150 million years ago. T-Rex was 66 to 70. So if you take that difference, we're actually, you know, there's a bit less time between, there's 80 million years between T-Rex and Stegosaurus and about 66 between us and T-Rex. So a lot of room for it to have evolved throughout. A lot of time.
And I heard that they were large animals in the movie. They come off as like little cute dogs.
They're larger. Yeah. They're not like insanely big, but they're medium. I'd say like maybe a little bigger than what Velociraptor is portrayed as in the movie. Probably bigger than that.
Okay.
But it was maybe, I can't tell the exact size, but it's bigger than it was there. Definitely. Yeah.
So the Velociraptors, they're the ones who are instilling fear everywhere all the humans go in the movie.
Yeah.
They're fast. They apparently know how to open doors.
Yeah.
What can you tell us about the Velociraptor? Can they open doors?
No, they couldn't have opened doors. The reason I say that is because the way that their hands are in the movie, if you look in the movie, they kind of look like little bunny hands. This is a big thing.
Yeah.
And this is a big, you know, big to do in the paleontology world is that Jurassic Park had their hands like this, whereas their hands would have actually been like this, kind of curved inward with the fingers curling toward the middle of the body. So they're tucking their hands inward. Like a bird.
Like a mad scientist.
Yeah, like think of a bird, you know, they're kind of tucked their wings in, but their hands are kind of off, you know, kind of curled in where their palms are toward the center of their body. Versus, you know, in the movie, they had them down like a bunny. But their wrists would not have allowed that. They would have had to broken their wrists to actually do this. So they were actually like this. And that's how, you know, birds are the same, because birds kind of evolved from that general line of theropod dinosaurs called Maniraptorans. Birds are kind of a branch off of that sub branch. So, you know, so there's a lot of like anatomical constraints throughout evolution. You know, first you get this, then you get the reduction of the, first you get the curling in of the fingers, then you get the reduction of the fingers. So you get less fingers, and then you get big, you know, the ability to actually flap and fly, you know? So, just kind of one thing after another kind of evolve based on what you have.
Why did they evolve into smaller fingers?
Into having smaller fingers?
Well,
because basically the feathers took over, I would say. I mean, their arms are enough of length as it is, and their fingers kind of fused up. If you look at a chicken, next time you eat a chicken wing, look at sometimes you'll see the actual fingers, and they look like three little fingers that have fused into one kind of little, you know, nubbin. That's because it's kind of sturdy enough to hold these massive primary and secondary feathers that are allowing it to actually flap its wings. So they have big muscles in their chest for both flapping down and flapping up. So that's the primary actual powered flight aspect of it. But the fingers, they don't need those kind of fingers in the way that they fly, basically, is what it is. So they reduce it, and they kind of their big long feathers take over with their powerful arm muscles.
If you can fly, you don't need hands.
Yeah. Well, in some cases, in birds, there are other things that, you know, like bats, for instance, their fingers are really long. So the membrane between a bat's fingers, the membrane of a bat are between these really, really long fingers. Look at a bat skeleton next time, you know, you can Google it. You can see these really long fingers, and the membrane just goes between them. Whereas a bird, the feathers are the ones that make the wing. And the pterosaurs, like pterodactyl, is the same thing. There's a really, really long fourth finger that the membrane comes off of, and it goes down to the leg. So different ways to make wings. It just kind of all depends on what you have at that evolutionary event, basically. You have to work with what you have. So
is there a dinosaur that's not featured in the movie that you think should have been included for its maybe killer instinct? You know,
killer
essentially,
instinct.
Did Hollywood overlook?
I think T-Rex is, for as far as a killer dinosaur, I think T-Rex is the best thing they could have, you know, done. And it was from the book too. So, you know, in later movies, they have things like Spinosaurus in the third Jurassic Park with the big sail on its back. And they have other, you know, there are other big theropod dinosaurs that are in the later Jurassic World movies, but as far as actual killer, I mean, T-Rex, you can't really beat T-Rex in that regard. So I think they hit the home run there. I always thought that they should have had more herbivores in that movie, but you know, cause you know, herbivores are thought of as, you know, gentle giants, you know, that's how you kind of are told they are, but you know, they can actually be pretty aggressive themselves. Yeah. I mean, look at big herbivores today, elephants, hippos, rhinos, they can do some damage themselves. Things like Triceratops, I'm sure, you know, in the second movie, they kind of show it, but it could have done some damage. Instead, they just, you know, showed it sick on the ground, you know,
we got to change the way people see herbivores.
Yes. Yes, they're cool. Herbivores are cool. I will always, you know, strive to make that known in more ways than one.
So what is the likelihood of extracting the dino DNA from a mosquito in a fossil?
Not likely at all. First of all, those mosquitoes, I don't think even evolved at the, you know, to actually have been able to suck the blood of the dinosaurs. I think there was a say, maybe I'm misremembering, but there was something about how mosquitoes themselves were not actually, you know, didn't actually exist in that way. Extracting blood from a fossil in that way is highly, highly unlikely. And then to get DNA out of that, or genetic material out of that, it's just beyond me.
Would there be any way to actually extract DNA from anything?
So there's not DNA necessarily. There have been recent studies that have looked at, like, you know, that have found little remnants of proteins and possible DNA structures. But to extract DNA, if it's, you know, longer than, I think, 100,000 years ago, after that, DNA disintegrates. I can't remember.
It's gone bad.
Like it's gone. But you know, there are fossils that are there are bones of animals that are fossilized, that have been fossilizing, but still have some DNA in it, like mammoths, for instance. You've heard of de-extinction. I don't know if you've heard of de-extinction and, you know, all the fuss about, you know, some people are thinking, well, would it be a good idea to bring back the mammoth or saber-toothed cats or, you know, things like
yeah.
that. The big debates there, but, you know, we scientists have been able to extract, you know, DNA, get some DNA sequencing out of that, out of those animals, you know, especially the ones that have been frozen in ice for thousands of years.
Right.
But as far as like dinosaurs, like T-Rex and them go, it's not going to happen.
I mean, speaking of de-extinction, I mean, do you think it's a good or a bad idea to open up a theme park with live real dinosaurs? And why?
Well, I think the movie has answered that question pretty well. It would be cool. I would, if it was ethically and, you know, ethically sound and safe, sure. But I know there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of questions of if we should have de-extinction of much more recent mammals. You know, to think about de-extinction of dinosaurs is just kind of like, yeah, probably not the best idea. There's a reason.
Yeah.
There's a reason we exist without things like dinosaurs, you know. Yeah, I'm not saying dinosaurs specifically, but things that are like dinosaurs, like,
right?
So
what is that debate about the de-extinction and the more recent mm-hmm. animals like the mammoth?
There are some like environmental factors. You know, is it, for instance, it could be an invasive species. If you introduce a new species into an environment, you know, it would be invasive. But at the same time, it could actually help fill in niches that are gone because of extinction. Now, granted, sometimes that a lot of times, especially recently, you know, that extinction is because of us. So it's like we're trying to do something to kind of make up for the fact that we, you know, killed off all these animals. But in that case, you know, maybe it's a good idea to try to get those animals that we killed back, you know, use that science to recreate those animals rather than animals that were already extinct before we got here or, you know.
Right.
And, you know, different other things like, you know, de-extinction takes a lot of scientific know-how and process, and that takes away resources from other things like medical research and conservation research. You know, conservation is a big thing. We want to conserve what we have. Why are we thinking of just going back and bringing back animals that are already extinct? There are animals that need us right now to help them, you know, use those resources there. So a lot of things. So I tend to agree with that side of things. But there's been a lot of discussion about that.
Number one, it would be cool.
Yeah.
Number two.
Yeah.
But so are there lessons that we can learn from the dinosaurs about how to avoid extinction?
Dinosaurs were just, you know, they were just living their life. The reason, you know, that their evidence pretty well suggests now is that there was an asteroid hit the Earth, caused a big global winter, and that killed off the plants, then the herbivores, and then subsequently the carnivores. So, I mean, for us to kind of avoid something like that is a little more tricky. But as far as climate change, because, you know, there have been a lot of extinctions because of climate change, you know, especially because we're causing climate change now. Whereas in the past, you know, climate change has impacted the environment in the way that, you know, it did on its own. But this time it's because of what we're doing to the atmosphere with everything that we've built. So, you know, there are scientists that do a lot of research in climate change and saying, okay, you know, what do we know about the past and climate change in the past? And how can we use that to figure out how to, you know, mitigate these kinds of disasters in the future? There's a lot of research in that realm. You can't do anything about the future unless you learn from the past. So
finally, at the end of the day, if you had to pick one person or thing that was to blame for the tragic events at Jurassic Park,
yeah,
who or what would that be?
One person?
one person, or it can also be a concept.
Capitalism.
You know. Wow.
That's a big statement.
That's a big one.
Person Hammond. But yeah, I mean, it's a big statement on the, you know, the problems we run into with things like that. You know, I mean, greed. There was a quote by Ian Malcolm: "Your scientists were so preoccupied with whether or not they could, they didn't stop to think if they should." Like, yeah. You know, it's, you know, you go full speed ahead on something like science. You know, things like, you know, building dinosaurs with frog DNA that, you know, Henry Wu did. It should have been like bird and croc DNA. I don't even know why they did frog DNA, but yeah, that's another thing. specifically to move that story along for the whole, you know, sex change thing.
Right. Huge oversight. Yes. Huge oversight.
but yeah, I mean, you know, that I would say the main person, if there was a person to blame, ultimately, of course, it'd be John Hammond, maybe even Henry Wu and, you know, Dennis Nedry, those three in different ways.
Yeah.
But you know, the biggest voice of reason was Ian Malcolm, even though his character is a lot, you know, not the best, you know, personality, but the things he said about this concept were dead on, you know?
Right.
So,
yes.
Yeah.
He definitely gets a star.
Yeah.
nice star up on the
yes.
board. Ollie, thank you so much for joining us and talking to us about dinosaurs and helping us understand, you know, what might be to blame for Jurassic Park.
Thank you so much for having me. This was fun.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
With us today, we have producer Amanda Lund.
Good morning, Rebecca and Alarmy.
Fact checker Chris Smith.
Hello.
Okay, I left a little space for you to...
Hello, I am in fact that person.
Affirmative.
How fun that we got to talk about dinosaurs with a real dinosaur expert.
That's cool.
Yeah, totally. He knows about a lot of stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
Chris is jealous.
I do have very... I just don't know about a lot of stuff, and I'm always impressed when somebody does.
I know. Every time we talk to an expert, I'm like rethinking my career choices. I'm like, why do I do, like, I know a little bit about every... I know a little bit about a few things instead of, like, knowing everything about one thing. It's such a...
Yeah.
So messed up.
It totally. I mean, he is like, I feel like all of, I mean, I was interested in dinosaurs, not to the extent where I like, you know, memorized all of the dinosaur names, but I know a few, you know, kids right now in my life who would be like starstruck. I think they would have fallen over.
You mean like Fred?
Yeah,
Fred Gallagher?
Little Fred Gallagher would have just been so excited to meet Ali. Just as excited as I was. I mean, I had so many questions, I really had to stop myself.
Fred is our buddy and friend of the show, Rebecca Johnson's son, who is a, like Rebecca says, he's obsessed with dinosaurs right now, and he knows all the names. It's the cutest thing.
Yes, yeah, so he's 6
oh,
years old.
Oh, that's wonderful. I mean, dinosaurs are so freaking cool. And I'm like Dr. Ali. I, like, love the herbivores, and I always did, even as a kid. I was like, could care less about the carnivores. Mm-hmm. I, like, just loved the big herbivores.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's amazing too how, you know, all the way back then, millions of years ago, and today, like, vegans get no respect.
Yeah,
like, everyone's down on vegans, but like dino vegans still, like, people were like, yeah, whatever, like, they didn't get a lot of screen time here in Jurassic Park.
That's right.
It's true. It so is true.
We really have to change that. I mean,
it's low on the list. It's low on the list.
But like the fact that he said that we were closer to the T-Rex as far as timelines go than the T-Rex is to the Stegosaurus, I believe, that blew my mind.
Yeah, that was crazy to think just how long the dinosaurs, but they're just walking around like enjoying their rule over the earth. Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, like us, it just goes to show any day now.
Yeah.
How about the feather idea?
Oh my God. I would have loved to see Jurassic Park if what he called, he said some renditions show the Tyrannosaurus Rex as a fluff ball. Yeah. I think that would have made it scarier.
Yeah, because, you know, we are accustomed, like, I have to say, like, in my opinion, the dinosaurs look more like reptiles, right? And we're used to reptiles being way more vicious than, like, a bird or a chicken. So to see, like, a killer bird.
Yeah, that would have been way scarier. I also liked how he mentioned that not all birds need hands. And that made a lot of sense to me because, you know, you don't see airplanes. Because then I thought about airplanes are modeled after birds and they don't have like little fingers at the end of their wings.
No, so they can grab things as they're flying.
But that would be interesting if I might want to be on one of those airplanes just to see how different it feels.
If they just had long arms.
Long arms with hands.
That would be so weird. So was there anything else that we want to add to the board? I wrote down a few things that he said. Did you have anything?
I just wrote down Henry Wu. He got away with one.
Well, we said the
frog DNA.
We said the scientists, right? Didn't we
say the scientists? But scientists? I mean, I do feel like Henry Wu himself needs a shout out, as you know, that was a big mess up. A scientific no-no.
Yeah. And I also have to say, you know, just the way Dr. Ali was describing the intensity of the T-Rex bite, like, to me, that made me think, like, it didn't matter what gates they had in place, if people had guns. Like, with an animal that's that strong, even if this is what I'm referring to, our choice of reliance on automation as the clap, I'm like, maybe that actually didn't even matter. And even if they had a bunch of armed guards there, something bad still would have happened.
Oh.
Yeah, we got to get more. It should have been probably more about just the decision making process, right? And sort of like we didn't talk about maybe differentiating dinos. Like, why didn't they just. Wouldn't a theme park with just herbivore dinosaurs been just as fun as one with a T-Rex? Just leave out the killers.
It would just be the three of us and Dr. Ollie. I don't. We'd have season passes, and then everyone else would be going to Disneyland. Fest?
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, the thrill of it would have been gone. But you're right. I mean, I take your point. That would have been a way. I wish you had been a scientist, Chris, involved in the Jurassic Park. As opposed to like knowing a little bit about a few things.
Mm-hmm. Although Dr. Ali did say that herbivores could be vicious as well.
Right. But it was more defending, right? So the Triceratops. Yeah.
But I don't know. He compared them to hippos, and hippos are aggressive.
Oh.
You know, because even though they're not eating meat and killing for food, like they can still be aggressive because they're like protecting their territory and like protecting their food sources. So, right. You know, those like he was saying, the Triceratops were good fighters.
Yeah. Like if they feel threatened. So in a way, it's like even if we did a theme park with just herbivores, maybe they would have started feeling, threatened by the crowds, the mm-hmm. massive crowds of herbivore fans that mm-hmm. would have gone to the park and would have become aggressive. And all of a sudden here you have Jurassic Park all over again.
Exactly. So I've got Henry Wu back on the board for the first time, and we should also reconsider capitalism perhaps, because that was his selection.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it was. I mean, we were circling right around there. I think ultimately for us it felt more satisfying to put Hammond in jail because he really had a particularly bad case of capitalism.
Capitalism is a sickness. It is.
And he was just so egregious in like how he went on, with the park, even though there were like major signs that he shouldn't have.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I would agree.
So do you think we stand by our verdict or do you want to switch it up?
No, I think we stand by the verdict. I honestly think Dr. Ali would support us.
Okay.
I think he would support us.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's not ask. just in case.
We've bothered him enough.
Well, you know, today is Christmas Eve, Amanda.
Happy holidays.
Really? Is that what it is today?
It is today.
It's crazy how time
I can't
works.
Believe. Mm-hmm. This is insane. I mean, what are we all doing right now? We're just sitting by the fire.
Yes, in a very cozy sweater. And I just hope Santa brings all of the gifts you asked for, Amanda.
He will. Trust me.
But I do want to wish all of our listeners happy holidays. I hope everyone is having a nice day, a nice time, and a nice break. And of course, recommending our show. We really hope that that's how you're spending this holiday break.
Tell all your... I mean, you're not with your family, so I guess go shout it out your door.
You can just send them a text. It doesn't have to be in person.
Grab a pot and a... No. I think Amanda's onto something here. I think they should grab a pot and a pan, put a sweater on, head out the door, bang it together, and just say the alarmist. And then just see what happens after that.
Yeah, no context.
And if,
it's like caroling.
It's like caroling.
Go door to door, stand 6 feet away, bang your pots and pans, and then while playing the Jurassic Park episode from your phone.
That's very like, what is the movie I'm thinking of with John?
Yes. This is the rom-com from the 80s.
Yes. It's called like, it's not Stand By Me. But
yes, I think it is.
Is it?
No.
I've never seen it, but I know the image of him holding the boombox. Oh, everyone's screaming at us right now.
Yes. His sister is Joan. What's his name? John.
Cusack.
Cusack. John Cusack.
We're such feminists.
There are people screaming. It's such a famous movie. I just can't think of the title right now. And now there are people screaming at their podcast.
Get Dr. Ali back. He'll know.
He probably will. He knows everything, apparently.
Say anything.
Say anything. I said, stand by me. People are so mad. I'm going to get so many emails.
I think it's say anything.
Yeah. So that's our holiday gift to you. And we'll see you next week. Stay tuned. We'll be discussing who's to blame for 2020.
Earios.
Powered by Acast.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue checkmark next to that thing you love. And be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.